bloody freezing, Lulu added. 0 degrees. For those of you travelling onwards this morning. Shauna and Lulu zoned out of the rest of the announcement, gathering up their belongings and packing everything back into the handbags that had been obediently placed under the seat in front. Shauna glanced around at her fellow travellers, wondering how many of them were coming home to spend Christmas with the people they loved, to be with their families. It was the 21st of December, the last Friday before the crackers came out, and perhaps she was just being sentimental, but it felt like there was a buzz of happy anticipation, despite the fact that the day had barely begun. The seatbelt sign pinged off, and almost all of the other passengers immediately jumped to their feet, ready for the exit scrum. Shauna and Lulu sat where they were. It would be at least 10 minutes until the doors were opened, so what was the point of jostling?
Is it wrong that I want Scotland to live up to the stereotypes? Lulu mused, while slipping her second bottle of onboard wine into the sumptuous red suede tote she brought out every year for the month of December. I want 10 burly men in kilts clutching trays of shortbread and bottles of whiskey to greet me as I disembark.
Shauna nodded. Don't worry, they're sending them for me. Apparently it's all part of the service for Scottish descendants travelling here for the first time.
The irony was that with her wild mane of red hair and creamy pale complexion, Lulu was the one who looked more likely to have Scottish heritage, despite the fact that she didn't have a relative north of Watford.
Shauna's Glaswegian granny, Annie, had a glorious mane of auburn hair before the grey had set in. But those flame-haired follicles hadn't made it through the gene pool to Shauna, who'd been bestowed with a shade of mousy brown that had demanded blonde highlights every 8 weeks since the beginning of time. Shauna still found it bizarre that this was her first visit to Annie's homeland. She'd grown up not too far from her grandmother in Wimbledon, about half an hour south of where she lived now, in the London borough of Richmond-upon-Thames, and, strange as it now seemed, Annie had very rarely mentioned her Scottish roots and her childhood in Glasgow. Only now, with the benefit of hindsight, did Shauna wish she'd asked why. As it was, there had been few details, and any questions were met with hazy answers. Her granny was an only child, she'd said. Her parents had passed away years ago. Shauna hadn't realised it at the time, but looking back through a lens of maturity, she could see that Annie had kept that early chapter firmly closed, instead waxing lyrical about the next stage of her life. After a few festive baby shams, Annie would retell all her favourite stories of the trip to London on which she met Shauna's grandfather, Ernie, at a party, and within 6 months they'd married and set up home in Wimbledon. She said they chose to settle there so she could get into the queue early to watch the tennis every year. Annie was funny. She was fierce. She said exactly what she thought, and she revelled in being absolutely outrageous. But she was also loyal to a fault, and would fight any battle for the people she loved. That's what made it all the more incomprehensible that she'd had a family in Scotland that she'd walked away from, and, worse, kept hidden for decades. Annie had died back in 2009, but Shauna had only found the letters a few months ago, when she decided to take one of Annie's beautiful old handbags to a wedding. Inside, she'd found a slim sheaf of letters, bound with a red velvet ribbon, between Annie and her family members, her brother George and sister Flora, in Scotland. Shauna had been truly shocked and intrigued. Why had Annie never mentioned them? Why had she spent a lifetime hiding her past? The mystery had given Shauna something to think about, to take her mind off. Column. She stopped, catching her breath. 2 years, 3 months, and 20 days. That's how long it had been since her beautiful, funny, intoxicating Irish husband closed his eyes for the last time, and her world had stopped. A brain tumour. 1 minute he was there, and they had a family, a 15-year marriage, endless love, naive hope that he would beat it.